Okay, episode 16 of the On the Bounce show. Thanks for joining us again. Always do appreciate having you here. I was away last week, and I got to say, I absolutely missed the show. I missed you guys. Sandile, thank you for being so ably suited to sit here in this hot seat. The show sounded quite hot in all ways last week.
Yeah. It was super awesome. Cameras failed. All funny things happened in your absence. We missed you. I'm glad your trip was great, mate.
It was so funny to hear the stories. But yeah, thanks for stepping in. Look, it was an incredible weekend of sport last weekend. And this has been like a general theme for this whole year. Like, it's just been such high stakes, amazing action. The Curry Cup was really, really cool. It was an odd weekend in Joburg in general. It was freezing cold. There wasn't a single point scored in the first half. And then somehow the Lions didn't want to win it. I think that's the only way to kind of really talk about it. Weird. And then the Bucks decided to be the best they've been for 15 minutes and the shittest they've been for 65. So there is so much weird stuff from last week. I won't even get into the football because, well, Arsenal didn't win. Guys, they're still going to win, okay? It's still the year. This is still the year Arsenal are going to win. And if they can just keep 11 Oaks in the field, because Argentina recently realized this year, if you don't get guys get sent off, they're going to win.
Yep.
As soon as Arsenal gets the Argentinian in them, wow, that's not a good line. As soon as that happens, guys, Arsenal are still going to win the title. I'm so excited about that. I mean, they hammered, was it Bolton Wanderers last night?
Yeah.
I mean, they were so confident they had a 16-year-old Oak in the goals. Guys, it's going to happen. But I tell you what's really, really exciting about this episode here is that, you know, like right from the start, we said that we're going to get guests in when they're really quality individuals because we want to really get guys that you wouldn't ordinarily get to speak to. And we don't want more guys giving banter like us. I mean, Sandile and I already cover those bases already. So we've got Mpumelelo Mohlongo here today. And he, of course, is our Paralympic champion. Now, I spoke to him before he went to the Paralympics, and I said, I'm really excited to have in our studio here our first Paralympic gold medalist. And I think he said something quite modest, and then obviously he did it. So he's here today. Bobby, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you here in the studio.
Thank you for having me on the bounce, Ben and Sandile.
I mean, are you so modest that you didn't bring your medals?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you didn't bring.
If you don't ask for the medals, I don't want to be that guy.
I don't be that guy. It's like, please bring the medals. I mostly want you here so we can have medals. And obviously, it's about you.
Yeah.
But if I mentioned it, then you'd be like, okay.
You mustn't be shy. Otherwise, they stay.
Well, you mustn't be shy.
They're sitting in the car. That's where they sit.
So hectic.
I've got the keys in my pockets.
Are they seriously in your car?
Yeah, they're in the car.
James.
James, it's sorted out.
Yeah, please.
No, because I mean, that's always my first question. Like, when you go to the Olympics, Paralympics, I mean, I've seen guys go to world champs, whatever it may be. Do you want to just give him the details so he's not just pressing buttons in the cover?
It's a Fiat 500. It's in the.
Don't give the plate,
please. It's in the boot.
So, James, I think. just as you drive out on the right, I think you'll see it.
As you come out, turn right, it's literally on that road. Okay, cool. As you come
out, turn right. But it's a question that I'd obviously ask. I mean, it was really cool when you came back. Investec gave you that amazing welcome. And it was cool to see you. That was your moment, right? You with your medals.
Yeah.
Being celebrated for what it was. Incredible achievement. But like, what is it like having medals like that, though? I mean, do you want to take them out? Do you want to put them in a safe?
This is a strange thing for us to ask.
We just realized they're in your boots.
Honestly, like, you don't feel like they're yours. It's something that you share with the country. Something you share with the community that really understand what it's taken to get you there. So half the time when people are like, oh, do you want to wear it? I'm like, it's South Africa's medals to give, but I'm just the custodian of that medal. So here you go. Just make sure it comes back home.
Okay, well, geez,
that's media training 101 guys.
You currently have James in possession of this, which is quite edgy. So, I mean, look, I didn't say in jest that before you went to Paris, I said, I'm so excited to have you in the studio because we can talk about this. Like, I was so confident. And there was something so cool about watching you get onto the start line. Your first major race was the 100.
Yes.
And you got on there. And like, I mean, what, I've known you for what, like 6 months now? Maybe a little bit longer?
Yeah, almost a year, actually.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
But I know you're a quietly confident guy, and I know you've also done the work.
Yeah.
And there's a few sports people in the world that I know who are like that. So when I get nervous when I watch the Stormers, because I don't watch those Oaks train.
Yeah.
I get nervous when I watch the Proteas, because I don't know what's going on there. But with you, like, I wasn't nervous, and it was so cool to see. How did you feel, though? So, because ultimately, Tokyo wasn't your best. I mean, what, you finished fifth in Tokyo?
Yeah, Paralympic record, mixed class event.
Okay, but it wasn't like this was the time that the gold was on the table here. Did that change anything how you normally prepare for this kind of thing? I mean, was there a lot more pressure?
I think there was. It's pressure that I tried not to feel.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, as you said, all you can do is prepare. You can prepare until your head is blue. But on the day, it's about who can handle the pressure the best. And you never know what external pressures are going to come up on the day. And I think that night in particular for us, you know, quiet confidence is always key. I was dancing in the call room and my coach asked, you know, you don't look as sharp as I want you to look. And I was like, coach, I don't think that's something you should be telling your athletes.
Before kickoff right now.
I'm like, this is the final. This is it. He's like, I'm just warning you because you're going to make a few mistakes. I would have liked to have around so that you get the atmosphere into you and then you go in again. So I was fine. And then I realized, okay, I just need to focus on my lane. Don't worry about anyone else. Then the crowd started shouting, Malongo. I'm like, why are you shouting Malongo?
No, you're like, oh.
Now I feel the pressure because, you know, the French people really came out in their numbers. And I thought, this is not the
day. All French people hate South Africans in the stadium.
Everything we've done there. Everything we've done there.
You think so, but I think there's a shared passion for sports and great performances. So, no, we loved. I mean, there's a French man in my race. So we always thought, crowd is going to go there. Camera will go there. So we can focus on ourselves. Then they'll realize who needs to have that attention. So that's what we use to drive ourselves up. That was literally my training motto. Is that let them show who finishes the line first, no matter who the camera focuses on. Then they focus on me. I'm like, oh no, you're throwing this away.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you had the season's best time going 100%. Into that particular race, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you were seen as the favorite. You know, people talk about tunnel vision and having your blinkers on. Like, again, you're quite a relaxed guy. Is that the thing you get there, now you lane 4 or 5, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Is that it now? Like, what's your focus on that thing? Are you looking left and right? Are you maybe trying to psych out the other guys? Or are you just looking at this is the lane where it's going to happen?
Honestly, I'm looking as far as possible. And normally my coach stands directly opposite me. So he always says, catch my eye. And that's the only eye you look at because you're executing my race.
Oh, yes.
So I looked around, caught my coach's eye. Then the camera panned in front of me. And then when that happened, I had to look down and I say, well, then it's step by step. Until I can get up and look at my coach again before I cross the line.
Okay. So, I'm hogging the conversation.
Yeah, I was going to jump in. You know, everybody talks about, you know, running it like every other race.
Yes.
We want to know, as guys who are never going to be at that level, surely, is it about every other race or is this super special to you?
Yeah, I mean, like, do you have maybe something in reserve for the heats?
Yeah.
And then you know, like, the game plan here is a more explosive start over.
Yeah, I think there's always mind games, especially when you get to my age. You know, I'm in the 30s, so I don't have that youthful exuberance that I used to have.
Well, you compared to us in the studio. James, you bring his entire existence out of here.
It's in there. It's in the
James
big one.
James has just arrived with everything in his boot.
And you're about to embarrass us, aren't you? What is your luggage, man?
Yeah. But it's really we really play mind games. So if I know that particularly my start is not where I want to be, that's what I go out and really execute in the heats so that people worry and they feel like, okay, if he has a start, like his finish is going to be there. But this time around, there were no mind games. It was honestly go out as little mistakes as possible because my coach has told me that I'm not looking as sharp as I should be. And then step 5, a mistake. Step 6, another mistake. And I thought, yo. Then I could hear the commentators talk about Suarez coming up. And I said, if you don't wake up now, this guy's going to go past. And when somebody goes past you, it's really hard to make up those steps. I mean, there's only 48 steps in that 100-meter race.
Yeah, it's crazy. So it's almost like a dance. It's like a choreographed dance to a certain 100%. Degree. At your level, I mean, you got, it's 11 seconds from like start to finish.
Yeah.
Which when we watch is 11 seconds. But for you, do you ever feel like it takes longer or is it just super quick?
Because, no, it's a blink. I think there's a flash of the gun in your ear and then you wake up to there's an atmosphere around you and then you either know you've won or you haven't.
Jesus.
So at the 80-meter mark, I was already celebrating.
Crazy, that's crazy. I've got a question to ask and it's really outside of sports, you know.
Yes.
Are there any hobbies or passions that, you know, we wouldn't know about? Because everybody focuses on you as an athlete, you know. Mm. Are you
still? We're trying to stay in the race here.
No, I just we're trying to stay on the race here. I just got to ask the other question because I really wanted to know.
He generally goes to end of interviews. Because
I just really want to know, you know, outside of sports, is there something that, you know, helps you become sharper before you go to a race? Are there any activities you do before you go to a race? You know, everybody always focuses on like the pure aesthetics of it. Is there anything else you log into? Like, what do you outside of this?
Yeah, weirdly enough, if you want to see me at my calmest, I'm reading a book. I'm an avid reader.
Oh, right.
And one of the things we did before the long jump is I was reading my book and my coach said, now I know the world record is coming. Because as soon as the book comes out, you are so calm and so collected that you have this confidence that nobody can shake no matter what happens. So that's normally my go-to. I'm an avid reader before any game when I'm really confident that something special is going to come.
But is that like a more mature thing, or has it always been your thing to go to?
It's always been for as long as I've remembered, even in school. So the biggest rugby games, Kersey College versus Maritzburg College at Goldstones. What is Pumi doing on warm-up? He's reading his book.
Wow, that's not exactly hip-hop in the headphones. Sorry, James is standing there quite precariously over your bag again. Is it? I guess it says two blue boxes.
It's just the blue boxes, yes.
Okay. Look, I'm not looking for a mess. Jeez, that's actually quite a thing though, huh? Don't break it, James.
James, please.
Okay, well, you can even bring the boxes
as they are.
Oh, that's amazing. Look at all the pageantry.
That's lovely, hey. I mean, we don't have the zooms here on the cameras. But I love the fact that so you get given the medal. We'll get back. I've got some other questions about long jump and stuff now, but that's beautiful, Ham.
Oh, that is.
So is that the actual medal that they put around your neck?
That is it. That's the bronze medal with a piece of the Eiffel Tower, 18 grams.
Sorry, Cindy, just get a little bit closer to Pumi there so we can see it on that camera. If you are watching us live on YouTube here.
Yes.
You're going to have to need to tilt it though because
that's the right way.
Well, no, you can see on the screen. You're not talking the right way.
we're there and that's the gold.
Am I tilting the right way? Man, that is so cool, hey. So, awesome. And when you won the gold, you wore that and you went out and you go back to the village and that. how does that work?
No, so we won the gold, went back to go obviously sing the national anthem in Stade de France where the Springboks did it. And then
that was cool. Hey. I got to tell you, I had a little tear when that happened. Because it's when you hear your anthem at the games like that, you're a gold medalist. Like special. That's special. You haven't just done well for your standards. You've beaten everybody. You've beaten the world.
Yeah.
There's extra gravitas on an anthem like that. And you must have felt that too.
No, 100%. I mean, luckily all my tears came beforehand when I had that realization. So by the time I was on the podium, I was fresh. I had a smile. Yeah. I could look up, really take in the moment. But just to hear it and say, this is where the boys did it in green and gold. And this is the first for South Africa. That was the first medal we had at the Paralympics. Yeah. So it was also a golden opener, which rarely ever happens at big games like that.
So this is something that probably confuses a few people because, you know, obviously every event that you were in from there, I was invested. You set the world record in long jump, but you didn't medal in the long jump.
Yes.
So, I mean, I researched more about that kind of stuff. So just tell us briefly, I know that every interview, everyone's going to go on about classifications and this kind of stuff because it's quite difficult to follow in that you're T44 athletes.
Yeah.
But now, why were you against the T64?
Yeah. It's there's a limit to how many events that can happen at the Paralympics.
Right.
So what they do is usually they decide that 8 years before that these are the classes that will have this number of events and they try to spread it out. But our class where we split from amputees to lower limb deficiencies only happened after Tokyo. So after the program had been decided and the International Paralympic Committee said, listen, as much as we want to give you your own 100, your own 200 and long jump, unfortunately, we've already done all the planning. It's done.
Yeah.
And would be taking it away from other classes to give it to you.
Right.
And that's when a lot of us decided, no, just give us one race. Then hopefully from LA and beyond, a lot of the athletes will have three events that they can participate in and represent their country. And they said, the 64 class, you shouldn't even be in the final. We know you're not going to medal. So it's just one of those things where you get to just show your talent to the world. And we said, watch this space and you'll see who says we shouldn't meddle.
Yeah.
But this is the thing that makes it so interesting is that, cool, you got the 100 meters gold, great. First thing. Your bronze medal in many ways is just as impressive, if not more so, when you think of the competition. Yeah. Because, I mean, to get into the sort of mechanics of that, those guys do have an unfair advantage of you with the prosthetic.
Yeah, that's the reality.
So especially if it's something like the 200, you might get a faster start, but those guys have more sort of top end, so to speak, right?
Yeah, I mean, 160 meters of the 200 meter race, they have an advantage, yeah.
That's a big percentage. That's a huge percentage. So... Just getting back to Tokyo, getting all choked up here. just getting back to Tokyo, obviously that was a really weird kind of games because of COVID and those kind of things.
Yeah.
The Paris vibe, was it everything that you wanted it to be as like a sort of crowning moment for your career, so to speak?
I wouldn't have said that going into Paris because I never felt like we lost anything in Tokyo. The fact that the game still continued, yes, we didn't have our community with us.
Yep.
But we still could showcase our talent to the world. But after being in a stadium where there's 85,000 people, you go, no, we missed out. missed out on the energy of that crowd, what it means. Sports without that community is irrelevant. You might as well go play in a void in some woods where nobody knows of you. And that was the signifying reminder of Paris, that if there's any moments to have your crown, this was it. In front of the people that love you.
And it is obviously the biggest for many people. I mean, we saw it with the Olympics prior to that. That stadium, the way that stadium sets up, that's the biggest, most boisterous crowds that any of those people would have competed against.
It's the best Olympic and Paralympics that has ever been hosted in history.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Wow. Okay. So we got to ask the normal, obvious question here. Okay. Like, what's it like in the village? Because we heard everyone's going to ask this for a variety of reasons. To start off with, this, there was no air conditioning. You basically had to be a vegetarian. But there was also cool merch and like freebies and like gift bags, that kind of stuff. I mean, was this something that was a part of your experience there, or do people make more of this than that really actually is?
I think it's whatever journey you've walked in life. Really, it shapes and colors your own vision and perspective, right? I grew up from a township, Klarota, in KwaZulu-Natal. So the village is amazing. My perspective is, where did I grow up and what am I experiencing now on a global stage? And they had marching bands, they had breakdancing. And of course,
it was like normal breakdancing, not Australian breakdancing.
No.
not the Oz breakdancing.
more US, what we're used to for Oz getting a lot of flack. So it was honestly such a vibe. They had Jackie Chan come into the village.
Oh, cool.
Jürgen Klopp came to the village as well to meet some of the athletes. They had a social club where you could go chill. There were DJs there. And as you said, so many freebies, from phones to different momentous items that you could go with, inscribe your name, whatever you want from Corona and all the different Paralympic partners.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola were doing things on the daily of giving out free stamps, free merch, free anything that you could basically get your hands on. So, no, we enjoyed it. Bit of heat has never hurt anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Especially from where we come from.
And then the veganism? Did you have to become a vegan? Because we heard about all of that.
I think by the time we got there, that halal section is where it was at. So that was all the meat you could ask for. So I just went straight there, got my fair dose of meat without complaining.
So, with all events nowadays, like social media makes them so much more extra for us as fans.
Yes.
And the cool thing about the Olympics was that there was very well, it was probably the best Olympics on social media, because obviously Tokyo, we know, was a downer. And before that, social media wasn't what it is now. If you think you go back.
100%.
Because that was Rio 2016.
Yeah.
One of the coolest clips that I saw was like the sort of first-hand experience of you've just won your medal and now you get whisked away to this fancy lounge. Is that a thing? It was like this fancy place where they give you champagne and...
Really?
And it's like the medalist lounge.
Yeah, it's they have a room where you basically come together as medalists before you go out into the podium, and if you want champagne, they give it to you, and they cater to you as if you're royalty, short of changing your socks.
It's so cool.
That,
right,
is, that is fire.
And as far as the opening ceremony is concerned, I know we're going in all different directions there. Maybe we should have started with this.
We
but
should
you,
have started there.
Yeah, no, look, I'm taking your cues.
I was about to ask about, can I ask it?
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, the opening ceremony. I mean, you had the honor of being, you know, the flag bearer.
Yes.
I think for, you know, every South African, that's probably one of the biggest, you know, honors. 100%. How did that feel? How did that feel for you, you know, knowing your journey throughout, you know, having to get to this point? How was that for you?
You know, they always say there's an honor specially reserved to people that really represent the South African spirit, and that's your flag bearers.
Yeah.
So to have first gotten that call and thought it was a joke, our deputy chef, Leon, phones, and I'm like, yeah, you jokester, whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
You guys always call me the troublemaker, so there's no chance.
Yeah, I'm gonna lead, yeah.
That I'm going to be leading with Kat. You know, who's our golden girl in Parasport. And then he goes, no, I'm serious. Like, we really want you to be the guy. And immediately I go to my coach. I'm like, I don't know what we've done right. But finally, our troublemaking has got us to lead Afrika suit to the world.
Yeah.
So just overjoyed. And it's something that you really have to experience and you can't explain. Mm. It's like almost asking somebody, how does it feel to be in love? It's like, go experience then you'll know.
Yeah, it is so cool. And another thing about, again, like, there was so much controversy around the opening ceremony for, obviously, the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
The Paralympic Games, like I said to people right from the start, is that the Paralympics is an incredible thing in almost two ways. The journeys that all the athletes take are very different, and the stories are incredible, and they're so diverse. Mm-hmm. And again, people might watch those different sort of sports because they haven't seen it before. It's so incredibly new.
Yes.
So you're almost watching something for the first time a lot of the time as well.
Yes.
And it comes across in the sort of opening ceremony. It's like those different team dynamics were so cool.
Yes.
People of all kinds of abilities, backgrounds, ages as well.
Yeah.
I love the Olympics so much. Again, time zone was right this time around.
Yeah, 100%.
And the combo between the two. I mean, obviously I watch more Olympics because there's just more sports I relate with it's like happening what we usually watch. But there was something so incredibly cool. You could turn on the TV and the elation and the backstories and the coaching, it meant so much.
Yeah.
A lot of the time when you watch so many different sports, it's like you'll go through the motions and you become so accustomed to that. Mm. And I think every 4 years, well, every two, because you get the Winter Paralympics too, right?
Yeah.
I actually interviewed a guy who's trying to get the bobsled into that.
Is it?
But it's just, this to me is what I never get when people don't like sport, because there's so many different ways to actually get a hook on that, right? Yeah. So cool, watch the Springboks this weekend. But I mean, you also just epitomize that. Like, our national heroes aren't just rugby players, cricket players, definitely not cricket players.
Definitely not.
And a handful of football players too.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. You know, like, I was chatting to a mate of mine the other day about this. You know, we're in a very special time of SA sport right now.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, like, there's you, there's Drikus, obviously the Boxer being what the Boxer are.
Yeah.
It does create like a platform.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel now, like, when you're going to get people asking you all kinds of things about whether it be for mentorship or motivational kind of stuff, like, do you feel that there's all these different cliches that once someone does it, it's easier for the next? I mean, do you feel like the thresholds that you've kind of broken are going to pave the way for going forward?
One would hope so, Ben. Honestly, like, if there's any lasting legacy you want to leave in sports, is that the barriers to entry, the barriers of success on the global stage are less so for those who come after you. Whether that is a reality, I mean, only time will tell. Because we've had a lot of Paralympians that have been uber successful, and yet have faced the very same issues they faced back in 2008. And oftentimes even more hurdles and barriers and obstacles that they didn't have back then. So, I mean, tides will change, and hopefully with the fact that it was 30 years of democracy, as you said, the Drikus, the Tatianas, the Simonets, if we all just band together to say sports has united us 30 years ago, it's doing so again, just to give every South African that glimmer of hope that there's this latent potential just waiting to come out. And we just need to give more kids opportunities. And they'll do the shining for themselves. We just have to put the structures in place so that that is a reality.
So again, jump in. I'm just
my questions are now going to be teed up into the various.
I mean, I could chat to you for days around this because I mean we have a very similar outlook towards sport and stuff like that. Like, do you feel like as you've now progressed in your career, you've got a better understanding of like what the blueprint of success is? That if to say, let's just say Sascock or Gayton or whoever is going to pull more strings now going forward.
Yes.
Do you think there's a lot of merit in saying, right, we're going to put like a task team together. Mm. We got our medalists. Like you say, when you started out, you had your barriers.
Yeah.
It was barriers all over the place, right? But you've got to the place where you are now. Yes. I mean, do you think there's merit now that the powers that be need to say, cool, we've had a great 2-3 years.
Yeah.
We've got talents that have achieved it, done these kind of things. You mentioned Tatiana. Yeah. Is there merit in that kind of stuff to say, look, guys, when we retire or get into our 40s, wherever it may be, let's put this all together, like kind of Rusty's doing with ex-players, bringing them back in.
Yeah, I think, I don't know why we're not doing that. I mean, that is the blueprint of any successful story is people who've been there, done that, and realize what those challenges are, but they get to speak the same language as current athletes that might be afraid to speak out or might be afraid just to go to those structures and say, you're not supporting me in the way that I need to be supported. But whatever task team that you put together of these former athletes or current athletes, whatever combination, but give them actual power. There's no use creating these forums and these task teams where it's just about conversation. There must be 5 objectives that we're aiming to hit in the first year and very clear mandates with a budget that is put in place. And we're ready for that task to say we want to see more of South Africa on the global stage in whatever sport it may be. Yeah. I mean, we could have taken breakdancing by the looks of it.
100%. 100%. I wanted to ask, you know, you mentioned the fact that you're getting a bit up there in your career. Are there any athletes that you're looking at and like, oof, this one is about to blow our socks off. We better get out the way soon, you know. We've seen it in so many different sporting franchises now, especially, you know, with Sacha Feinberg and all these different players. Are there athletes now that you're looking out for and you're like, oof, we got to get out the way soon because this is the one right here?
No, 100%. I mean, just in the Paralympic space alone, if you ask me, there's 2 names. I mean, these are children, 19 and 20. Buseletu Mabote.
Yeah.
I'm like, give that kid a platform, give him structure, and he will shine like the world has never seen before.
Okay.
Simone Kruger, just support her. You make sure that she has the right education, the right sporting structure with her family. The world records we've seen are just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm.
It might be the Natalie Du Toit story where she starts qualifying for able-bodied events.
Oh, wow.
That's how talented she is.
Mm.
But she's limited to, this is what I can do in this current space. Mm. But why are we limiting her if she can shine more light in onto South Africa and how much talent and dedication we have here?
I mean, you're exposed to all kinds of international athletes. And obviously, while you were there, just in Paris alone, certain countries obviously have greater resources. They've been in the game longer.
Yes.
Can't get away from that.
Yeah.
What do you think that some countries are doing particularly well, and which countries are those?
I think a lot of countries are intentional. I mean, you obviously have your big U.S. The U.S. have a 12-year cycle for athletics in particular. I can't speak about other sporting codes. A 12-year cycle where they say, this is not development from we recognize you have talent now, so we're hoping that talent manifests into you being professional. They're building gold medalists 12 years before they become gold medalists.
That's crazy.
And they invest, what university are you going to? What high school are you going to? Who's your coach? What sort of medical support do you have? Do you have the mental resources to ensure that you have this capacity to be resilient, to be determined, to have purpose? And then they reward the athletes. It goes without saying. I mean, we have our own blueprint in the Springboks.
Mm.
Springboks are paid. They're paid serious money so that they can only focus on what they need to do, which is on the field, and then what they represent off the field. But if you have athletes like myself who has a full-time job and I'm in corporate, you know, from 7 in the morning until 6 at night, trading and looking at global markets, then have to go out and train. Your capacity to give more to your community just isn't there.
Mm.
And every now and again, you get these wonder stories and we like to clinch onto them like, if Tatiana could do it, then why can't everyone? And you're like, no. Swimming has been on the decline. You know, Chad speaks about this openly.
Mm.
What are we not doing to ensure that this remains successful and surpasses where it used to be 10, 20 years ago?
So just like keeping that in mind, because it's kind of mind blowing. A lot of people just think like, cool, you're at the games, you won a medal, this is what you do. All your investments. Yeah. It's not always the reality, but some countries, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. Great. But now, as you say, like you've got a full-time job. It's not like you've got a job where you can just go off here and there. Like, yeah. And you're a proper professional as well. Okay, yes. You've got a real career behind you.
Yeah.
How have you then managed to level up the way you have that you could reach your prime first and foremost, yes. And obviously you win these medals now, because all those things you just described there, you're up against big resources. So what have you done in your own way to kind of make this level up in the last, sort of, since Tokyo?
I think like a lot of South Africans, I went to the private sector and I said, I need partners that are going to come on board so that I can just focus on what I do best, which is running.
Yeah.
I jump. I don't want to worry about who's paying my coach. Do I have a sports doctor to do preventative care on any injuries? Is my physio cared for so I can see her twice a week? I don't want to worry about those things. I want to worry about, am I giving 150% or 180% at this training session? And can I do 7 hours of training a day instead of five? So I went to partners like Investec, who said, we see you, we recognize you, and we have that same thing where we want to see South African sports on the global stage. So jump on, just tell us what you need. And then BIC comes on board and says, listen, you know, you're doing amazing thing on the sports field. You already have a big enough partner that your resources are cared for. But what about your community work? What can we jump in? Because if that fuels your fire and people is what drives you to perform better, we will be the partner and the people and who you touch and who you go back to. And with those partnerships, I've just been able to train a lot more. I've been able to focus on what's necessary. And you know, proof is in the pudding. We came back with 2 medals,
yep.
2 world records. And how many more athletes could have that same opportunity?
Can I ask, in terms of the business of, you know, athletics, as you've discussed it, is that, do you think, did you learn that through trial and error, or did you always have this big plan for you as a brand? Because, you know, we always talk about the core elements of training, et cetera, but we know that there is a shortage of money. So we've got to actually build the holistic brands for us to, you know, tick those boxes. How was that journey for you? When did you learn it? Is your team around you to build those, you know, those business plans?
No, I was fortunate. I mean, a lot of people, we have social media, so they're in the media's eye. So I went and looked, you know, what did it take for Wade Fanica to break the world record? What has it taken for Akani Sambini to be, you know, the African sprint house of the world?
Yeah.
And every now and again, I'm like, okay, you're associated with Adidas. You're associated with this brand. Mm. And then go speak to these people like, okay, guys, what are these brands actually giving to you? Mm. And then they start explaining. It's like, this is what I don't have to worry about when I'm with this brand. This is how they align to my journey. This is the journey we've already walked. And that's when I said, well, rinse and repeat, you know, control C, control V. Yeah. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to find brands that resonate with my story, my journey. And we're going to together hopefully show the world how much great performance can unite us. And we can celebrate as South Africa that look at us on the global stage. How much more can we do in our communities?
I really like that, because I think a lot of athletes get so caught up in the sort of more romantic issues of that, right?
Yeah.
Either an underdog story, or it's like, you know, I'm emulating my heroes. But you are ultimately a business, because you need the resources. Because all of those things you describe about training, there's a line items if you were to look at it in a spreadsheet format.
Yes.
But you know you had to commit to those things, because if you didn't have those, you're not going to get the high output. Yeah. And I think it leads me to like to my next question, is that Where do you want to go as an athlete next? You got your professional career, but as an athlete now, like, where do you see yourself going? Because I know deep down you probably want to make an impact in some way or form.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to do it anyway. Just out of your results, you've already made a huge impact. But where do you want to go with this now?
I think the big thing is that if all I leave after this point is have more exhibition games across sporting codes, just to unite sporting fans in the different sporting codes. Mm. And hopefully that brings even more people that were previously not interested in cricket or rugby or athletics to those stadiums. That's all I could hope for. So I've already chatting to Siviwe about rugby sevens to say, guys, like, come challenge me, 40 meter sprint, Bring your fastest. Oh. I'm there.
Okay. That's cool. That's fine. Yeah,
I feel like we should film this.
Where's Cheslin Kobe? Where's Kobe?
Oh, where's Cheslin?
Yeah, come close. Yeah. I know I'm faster than you.
Oh, wow.
And let's show the world why we are so good. And why parasports is not just a participation sport. Because unless you feel like you want to get embarrassed, then I understand. But then come out and say so.
I love that. That's so cool.
But again, you know, like, if you'd ask most athletes, they'll probably say, look, I want to be able to raise money and do this and this, and you will probably do it in your own way anyway. Mm. But what you just said there actually encapsulates so much, because what that does is it makes fans excited.
Yes.
And that we're all in this together, because I think when people start to realize, like, they're just the player, like, it's just my training, that kind of stuff. And this is the whole thing. Like, I keep using the reference of Drukas because, I mean, I know his story really, really well.
Yes.
But I think when... ties to your point, when he walked out to his last fight with Ibn and Sia, kind of proves your point.
Yes.
It's like we are absolutely in this together to the point where we can shed a tear and watch you on the track.
Yes.
We click over, we're singing the same anthem for a rugby team.
Yes.
For a guy that's going to blix some a whole bunch of other oaks in a cage.
Yes.
But then who's to say a tennis player can't be part of this sort of mix?
100%.
Who's to say that Bafana isn't going to be part of this mix because the next AFCON they're going to do so well?
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool underlying thing. It's like, it's not just you and your silo.
Yes.
It's not just you participating in your sport. It's like, we're all actually really doing this for huge amounts of, like, collective chaos now.
Yes. It's about bringing South Africa together in spaces where we are all going to celebrate. There is no loser in that instance. If they beat me, if I beat them, there's something to be excited about. And as long as we come together as a collective, we'll never have to be like, oh, but the Springboks get so much. Yes. Oh, but Bafana. Oh, yeah. It's like, no, we're all in it together. Like, we're all in the same stadiums. We all support each other. Yeah. Every single South African wakes up to say, I'm not just going to go watch the Proteas. I'm going to go there because I'm going to see Drikus do a shot put with Karl Bruchnoot and Ibn Itabeth.
Yeah.
And let's see who comes out on top.
My mind is spinning.
So I have to ask, because I had it down here. Who would you want to compete against? You can just give me four people who you want to compete against.
In what event?
Just a sprint.
In a sprint?
Yeah. You can pick a... Yeah,
I've always wanted Cheslin. Sorry, Ches.
Oh, wicked.
Definitely always wanted to run against Cheslin. I'd say if we're talking about 40 meters sprint, 40 meters.
Sorry, hang a second. Why 40? Because they would get injured after 50. Because
their sporting code doesn't condition make for the 400 for the 100.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
40,
And I'm at an advantage at the 40 because my disability is only prevalent after 40 meters.
Okay, let me tell them all the secrets.
We'll tell them all of the secrets. So Cheslin,
So if I had to choose a race, it would be myself, Cheslin, Akani. Funny enough, I always wanted Peter Spies, but it was back when his prime and his,
he's
a bully now. Because Peter Spies was fast. Super fast. So then in his place, I'd want a big guy, like somebody who can really show pace. So you'd have to suggest somebody.
Okay.
And then
a big guy with top end, huh?
Yeah, with top end. Then I want Shabalala. My friend Sipiwe must be in that.
Okay. He's still got the gas, though.
He must have the gas. Hasn't retired.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's super interesting. You know, I always wanted to know that. You know,
I genuinely want to make the TV show racing you, and you literally go around the country. You profile these guys.
smoking.
And I mean, he's the most likable guy. Yeah. Like, he's not shit talking anybody. He's just gonna beat you on the track.
I think he is shit talking people.
No, these are people I respect. I mean, you respect somebody.
Yeah,
exactly.
No.
So I think we can throw Kirti Aronson in the mix there, because I think he's got good, like, pace.
Fair.
Look, I think you'd have him in the first 20.
Yeah.
I think he might be a relatively slow starter, but he's a good 40 or 60 kind of guy.
It's all about creating an exhibition event where we are all fast in our own ways. You just wear rugby boots, soccer boots, and I'm in spikes. But don't look at parasport as this participation event of people who just get an opportunity to do sports.
Yeah.
No, we as fast as the people that you call your national heroes and the people with speed.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to give back to the world.
That is amazing. Well, Pubi, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you got to get off because I'm sure you got to, like, rehabilitation training or just maintenance training here. Look, we said we're going to speak about the box So Sandina's here with like a checklist of all kinds of things about Marnie with stats and all kinds of things. So we are going to say goodbye briefly to Mpumi here in the studio. We'll be back in literally, James, I think we just put it to like 60 seconds. Could we get a picture with you as well before you get off? And I know, because look at him. Look how excited he is that we're about to talk about rugby.
I'll take a picture of the medals, man.
He also wants that. Okay, we're back in a minute. Yeah, thank you. Cool. We are back. Sorry, extended. It's a live show. We do what we can here. We had to get a photo opportunity there with. I'm so impressed that James managed to get the bag back and bring his entire boot back. Okay, so Sandile's going to top us up on a Heineken here. We have to talk about rugby. Do you mind just going back a little bit? You're all over my shot here. Sorry. We have to talk rugby, okay? So, firstly, this is the last week that you can play with Cliptrip. That's gold.co.za. So, we've been running this throughout the entire box season to this point where it's been so super simple. You go onto this website, and obviously, you get a chance to spin for a player. If you choose that player, whoever it may be, whatever they do on game day, they win points. They earn points through playing. Okay, so obviously Peter Sefzatoy has been the most amazing pick because the Oaks tackling, he's winning lineouts, he's just the best player in the world. And then after the match, you spin the wheel and you can win a prize. More importantly, you go into a draw. So even though if you haven't been playing this whole time, go to cliptrip.co.za and you go into the draw. There are big prizes that are about to be dished out after this match. So we are playing Argentina this weekend. It is hugely exciting. And, of course, it is Eben Etzebeth's 128th Springbok cap.
Man.
Now, it's a big thing to say that. So much so, as you can see, I have grown an Eben bookie for this week. Sandile decided not to, which I feel is very disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful. He went for like a week and then came back with all this facial hair.
But you've got facial hair. All you had to do was cut it.
I know, but you know, I didn't cut it because of, you know, another guy who can't kick for posts. But
Okay. The reason I'm bringing this up is that we've got two kinds of bok fans. We've got the ones that try and the ones that, well, maybe not. So we're going to do something special this week for Eben's 128th test match. We're going to have bokies for Eben. So if you upload a pic of your bokie, I mean, look, I'll be totally honest with you. This took me about 3 weeks to make.
I was just like, I'm not going to
pretend I can grow great facial hair. But like grow a bokie. So upload a picture. Obviously, tag us on Instagram. Is on the bounce, right? On underscore the bounce.
Yes.
Need to get that right eventually. Go onto Instagram. Tag us on underscore the bounce. And obviously, tag Clip Drift as well. And say, bokies for Eben. And upload a picture of you with your best bokie.
Yeah.
That, is, of course, is a goatee for Engels Mensa.
Yes.
And we could be giving you a case of brandy as a result. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to give away a case of brandy, a Clip Drift premium this weekend for the best bokies for Eben.
That's pretty awesome.
I'll remind you about this, but go on to social media right now. Go on to Instagram, upload a picture of you in a bok jersey, bokies for Eben. I think that's awesome way to close it. It's fair respect for the guy who's about to have the most caps ever.
And well earned. He's been at the top for such a long time and doesn't look like he's aging. So, you know, shout out to Eben. He's been absolutely sensational.
I think Eben's 32. He's going to be managed. He could make the next World Cup either way. Just an incredible player, an incredible Springbok. He's epitomized so much what the Springboks are about. So I think the least we can do is grow facial hair to all mimic him this week. 100%. How cool if the camera pans over. Okay, Flex, enough with the shirtless pictures.
I'm like, calm down, Flex.
But wow, how cool would it be if the camera was a pan across the crowd in Mbombela and we've all got bookies for Eben.
And a goatees, yes.
You better shave that for Saturday.
I'm going to shave it.
Look, we need to wrap up the show with obviously touching on the Bok team. Flex, we can get the team sheet there. Now, the biggest talking point, of course, is Marnie starting. And I like Marnie. I can't get away from the fact that I do like him. I think he brings something to this team that we've been pretty asking for a very long time. But I will quickly use the word but and say, you can say what you want about him being a kicker or not being a kicker. You can say
he's not a kicker.
But if you give an opportunity in a BMT situation, that's your job in that moment.
100%.
So I don't know. Sasha being injured right now plays a massive part in this. And that's probably why Marnie's been given it. But Rusty's whole thing was he's going to back a player and he's going to give him a chance. I think a lot of guys were given chances last week and they absolutely fucked them up.
Yep.
I think Kubus Reinach's lucky. this will all be in the mix. But again, maybe last week's game showed that our depth is depth in name, but not so much in abilities.
I really think Rossi just got it wrong with picking Mane Lubok. I think he's consistently shown, even throughout the World Cup, that he's
going in hard straight away.
Yeah, no, I can't forgive him. He ruined my Saturday. he absolutely ruined so many people's Saturdays. And I think Rossi's stubbornness to back his players is something that, you know, let him down last week, because he's been consistently criticized about maybe not, don't bring Mane Lubok back into the system, because, you know, everybody talks about hypotheticals. If Andre Pollard, if Michael Marx didn't get injured and Andre Pollard doesn't come up to the World Cup, we don't win the World Cup. Actually, I'll say it blatantly, you know.
Yeah.
Once again, it's a shortcoming of his game. And I think from that World Cup, we saw mentally he was fucked. And now, once again, and it's, for me, it's not the kick to win the game. It's the kick for the line out. It's the indecisiveness. It's, you've earned the right to be a Springbok. And clearly, maybe now the responsibility is too much for you. Maybe you need to go back, play club rugby, and go back and let people like Siyama Seu come up and take that position, because those are the conversations that people are going to now have.
Well, it didn't help that Jordan Henderson nailed an absolute bomb to
earlier
win the Curry
Cup. Like, so now we're like...
That was like, Marnie couldn't have missed a kick at a worse time.
Yeah, so I think like everybody's criticism on him, I just don't think he's good enough to be in that position.
So my biggest criticism is, I think as a playmaker, all those kind of things, he's great. So I'm just saying it as a Stormers fan. My criticism is that other people have to do other things around him. I don't think that's fair.
Yep.
And at the same time, I don't think any fly half is good enough that now we must pick a fullback that kicks or a scrum off that kicks, because suddenly the scrum off is now doing 50-50 things.
Yeah.
And then if Cheslin has to now put an extra hour of training in where he's kicking, and suddenly that like tweaks an ACL or a hamstring, that's going to really piss me off.
Yeah. And I think Andre Pollard coming off the bench now also is another thing for me that shows that Rossi really doesn't back Mane Lubok to do the same position again. Well, because I thought about it. I was like, if you have Andre Pollard to close the game, and it'll be so unfair to run him down ragged, we win that game and we move on with our lives. Now it's tight. Now we've got to go to Mbombela, which we're going to do and win. But now it's like, it's super exciting, and we didn't want all this excitement, you know?
I know, we want that excitement. We are.
I wanted to close and be undefeated, you know?
Look, I want to be undefeated, but I think either way, we're going to close up and get the thing.
Yeah.
Last point about that.
But we played dog shit.
No, we did. And I think sometimes you need a loss to kind of put things into perspective. And I think we got a lot of perspective out of that game. It does suck when you lose, because obviously I'm a betting man. And
nice segue.
Marnie kind of cocked that up. Well, to be fair, the Lions actually cocked it up earlier. Mm. I actually had a really good point. I was going to close out on that, but now I've completely lost all train of thought.
I think, look, outside of Mane Lubok's huge issues, Springboks can't get away for the fact they conceded like 4 tries in 15 minutes.
So true. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, that for me is probably the worst Springbok game I've watched in this,
I don't know if any team's ever put 4 tries on them in 17 minutes.
Like in 17 minutes, it felt like we got off the gas and then realized we were in trouble and tried to get back on the gas, and then everything just wasn't working out, you know. And I hate it. Like, yes, Mane Lubok should have, you know, closed it off, but we should have never gotten that close. So that is Rossi once again got to look himself in the eye and be like, I kind of let that one go and I shouldn't have.
Yeah, look, I guess. But it always comes back to the Springboks, okay? This is where my head is still mulling around, and I'm probably going to articulate this really badly, but kickers win test matches.
Yep.
Okay? And now we're going, yeah, but if we got a fly-off that can help us score tries, we won't need the small margins. That's a massive gamble, hey?
And lost.
Massive gamble, because I know we're trying to change the game plan and all those kind of things, but ultimately, if it doesn't go so well, if you can bank 6 points here and there through a couple of kicks, you can't kick for the corner every single time.
Yep.
Especially when Marnie can't get in the corner.
You couldn't even get it there.
I'm not worried, though. I think where I want to go with this is that I'm not worried, because Rossi's had a plan. We're still going to win the rugby championships.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we've blooded players in big games rather than waiting for injuries or cucky games against Portugal or whatever.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Portugal, but I mean, they're not exactly going to ever challenge us.
Yeah.
So I still think this rugby championship has been hugely successful for us.
100%.
And I think this game on Saturday, as an ode to Eben, that sounds pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
As an ode to Eben with our bokkies, and just to show what this guy means to this country, I think these players, they've gone through a couple of things here. The travel, the rotation of players. It's a hugely exciting game again to get into for the box. I mean, we were so excited, of course, about the Irish series.
Yeah.
Great. We were so excited about beating Australia away for the first time for however long in two test matches. We were so excited about doing the double against the All Blacks. All those things have happened in one tournament. And now, against an Argentinian team you have to take seriously.
Yeah.
We now get to put the wood to them, so to speak,
yeah,
in Mbombela.
Yeah.
Okay, look. We've got a lot of other sports we haven't touched on. Look, if you want to get more in depth on the weekend sports, weekend's action, of course, on the Gareth Cliff Show tomorrow, if you're watching us live here on Thursday, the Gareth Cliff Show on the Real Network every Friday, I do a bit more in-depth of a weekend preview. But it is a damn exciting weekend. Just to quickly brush through, the URC, of course, started last week with all the other sort of nations. The SA teams were busy with Curry Cup, of course. But some really good close results right off the bat, which is really, really exciting. This weekend, we got the Warriors, of course, the defending champions. They'll be beating Benetton. That's Friday night. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, in and amongst, obviously, the BOC game, which is at 5. Earlier on, if you care about New Zealand and Australia, they'll be at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
We haven't got
time. Enjoy breakfast. So. Go to Mug and Bean, guys.
No, exactly. So Saturday, Lions versus Ulster. Lions have just had the heartbreak of the Curry Cup, which they decided not to win. They've got Ulster, Ellis Park at 12:55. Bulls versus Edinburgh. Another big game for the Bulls because ultimately, they choked the fuck out of the URC final, and they choked it out of that semi as well. So, huge redemption game here against a pretty strong Edinburgh side. Zebra hosts Munster. We've got Scarlets versus Cardiff, Connacht versus Sharks, and the Sharks have got a lot to prove, man. And the Curry Cup, I know, isn't a huge trophy, but
that's quite big.
It was an indication that things were falling into place.
Yep.
Yes, they won't have all their major box, but they've got a good side. And great then the Ospreys will be hosting the Stormers. Football.
Big, big, big weekend.
Just want to drop football. It in. Your team again lost me money last night against
Luku FC 20. I want to talk about Premier League before I go back into this nightmare.
It's just a number.
Saturday, that's we've all. Got a very exciting start. 1 o'clock kickoff. We've got Newcastle, Man City. Move on to Chelsea versus Brighton, Arsenal versus Leicester, Wolves versus Liverpool. And then Sunday, we have Man United versus Spurs. At 5:30, yes, guys. Biggie.
And how do you feel about that?
It's probably going to be another draw. That's the crazy part.
You reckon another draw?
Another draw, but I'm going to back my boykies like how we're going to back Eben. So let's go Reds. Let's go Man United.
I reckon 20-0.
20-0. James, that wasn't the best joke.
Shut your mouth.
I'm sorry that James isn't on the show today. We had to use other cameras, obviously, for our guest.
Yeah, and yeah, and then moving along, exciting weekend in the PSL. We've got one of the big, big derbies. If I call it a derby,
rivalry. It's a rivalry because you've got essentially the new versus the old.
Yeah,
Chiefs were the old, Sundowns the new when it comes to dominance.
Look, you know, I want to say something as a Chiefs fan. That's why I wore this shirt this week. We feel like it feels like a bit of a bounce back. It feels like things are coming together. It feels like, you know, there's hope. You know, everyone on the timeline is coming out and saying,
you beat AmaZulu.
Chiefs, we're on two on the trot and we take it.
AmaZulu is like the Ipswich Town of the PSL.
You got to win what it's in front of you. We say it every week. So this weekend, PSL, Chiefs versus Sundowns, 3 o'clock kickoff. Saturday is going to be a blockbuster day for your livers. Before we get into Springboks, we are on the Chiefs versus Sundowns. Kakuna United versus Golden Arrows at 3 o'clock. Cape Town City versus Supersport United. They have to bounce back Supersport. Sunday, we have Richards.
Well, Cape Town City as well. They just took a 3-0 loss.
Hiding.
To Stellenbosch.
Shout out
Darren. Tough day at the office.
Darren, you keep on getting random smoke all the time. And then Sunday, Richards Bay versus Orlando Pirates. Once again, I'm super excited for what Pirates have got in store this season. I think they're going to be a very exciting outfit. Polokwane versus Stellenbosch. As we've been saying, Stellenbosch are probably going to, you know, make a lot of noise this season, coming back off the season that they had before. So that's a super exciting weekend in terms of Diski, a.k.a. football.
All right. I got to say on the betting recently, a couple of teams have really, really taken the jam out of my donut. Yeah. The semi-final of the Curry Cup, the Bulls. The final of the Curry Cup, the Lions. Yerkes, you're dead to me. You're dead to me. But this week, I'm going to go a little more pragmatic. I'm going to go to the URC for a rugby multiplier, which I think will float your boat. I'm going for wins for Glasgow Warriors, the defending champs, Leinster, Lions, Bulls, and Munster. You would look at the team sheets and go, of course, it's a good bet. And for 2.16 means every one of your rands could earn 2 rand 16. So hypothetical 100, 216 back. That is my bet for the week on Super Bets, and I reckon it's a solid one.
For me, You guys keep on calling me Drake, but Drake wins once in a while. This is my football multiplier. I've got Arsenal to beat Leicester. I'm hoping Arsenal step up. They didn't do it yet last week.
They just beat Bolton Wanderers 5-1.
Man United.
And they drew with the best team, club team in the world. 10 men. How dare you?
As per usual, guys, I'm backing Man United. Man United to beat Spurs. Man City to beat Newcastle. But for me, what's going to be probably the most exciting game this weekend, I've got Chiefs to beat Sundowns. Yes, I said it. They look really good this season. I'm going to back my boys.
Can we please have a dream sequence when he does this from time to time? Get a little bit of a frosting, a bit of harp music. I'll tell you why you're dreaming, because your hypothetical 100 is going to score. I mean, you got 22.62 on that pick five there.
Yeah, let's go.
So you're going to get
Drizzy will do it again.
If that comes in, which it won't.
And if it does, guys, back me. You buy me the case of Clip Drip.
Look, if you are new to all of this, of course, and you go on to superbets.co.za with the tag or the code OTB, you can get your deposit matched up to 5,000 Rand. So I don't know if you want to back Chiefs trying to beat Sundowns or Man United. But look, Man United might draw with Spurs, and a draw is always a good bet in football. James, we need to get some comments.
Yeah, let's roll
up. But yeah, superbets.co.za, as we always say, the markets are there. You know exactly what you're talking about. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's a great weekend for it because, of course, we've got so much rugby. We've got so much football. Comments, how are we looking on the comments?
Only a couple. First one is for you, Ben. Your thoughts on Man City versus Arsenal. If we're going to give Sandal a hard time, we got
Guys, I mean, look, it was a bit of a torture thing for me because I would have been happy with the draw, to be totally honest with you. I know that sounds so defeatist, but with the suspension of Declan Rice, the team was maybe a bit shaky. Oh. They dropped points to Brighton. Man City or Man City? Holland up front, they've just been scoring goals. But when they went ahead, let's be honest, it was game on. But these Oaks have got to stop kicking the ball away.
Yeah, it is. What a strange game.
It was so strange. And you can go into conspiracies about the fact that ref's never red carded a Man City player in his whole career. But the weird thing about that is that it galvanized Arsenal to playing a certain way.
Yeah.
Rea was great as a keeper. The guys were all behind the ball. And it was kind of unlucky they couldn't actually hold on. One thing I don't understand is that why do you waste time in football if only gets added at the end?
Doesn't make they should we
I'll just play the game, guys,
or just stop the clock, ref. Guys, I mean, like all these things that we keep on talking about. But Arsenal, and I hate to give Arsenal credit, played hell of a game. Once again, it's a game of margins, and I think it shows that Arsenal have got some grit, which is something we've always thought they lacked in the past. So I really like that.
Thank you. That's exactly the point I was going to end on, them, Maxoni, is that that game forces Oaks to galvanize in a certain way, show a bit of grit, and show that they are going to be the Premier League champions, which I've been saying since the beginning.
Come on,
but. And then Bolton walked into them last night and got a...
Come on, but. James, any comments on that one?
Stevie T is a Man United fan, obviously.
Comments, not strange delusional outcomes, James. Come on.
I mean, that's...
Oh, shout out Stevie T.
Don't agree.
My type of guy.
And then lastly, also Stevie T, Richards Bay, the Dark Horse. One of you guys actually said something similar when we did the PSL preview show.
Yeah.
I was saying Sekhukhune, but they've been disappointing so far.
Richards Bay just been, you know, getting some results, which is, you know, what we've been saying about what the PSL is going to be like this season.
Sorry, hang on a second. Are we talking Dark Horse as in top six? Are we talking Dark Horse top four? Are we talking Dark Horse champion?
Dark Horse like top four, I think.
Yeah, good to preface that.
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to compete. I don't think they're going to be better than Pirates, but because they have such a low expectations for their season and they've been so good, and I think that is what's similar to what we had with Stellenbosch last year. We'll take whatever they do as great, you know, so yeah.
All right, talking about taking whatever we do as great, there's a President's Cup golf this weekend as well. Lots of people won't care, but how cool is International Team's logo? That's the only thing I can give you. They're going to lose, guys. The President's Cup is the Bledisloe Cup of golf.
Yeah, I was like,
What we must obviously end off is that 6th of October, of course, James.
Yes, sir.
Just getting nods all around. Yes, the Red Bull show run. We still have the 2x2 tickets where you can join us at the Heineken 0.0 Lounge. Now, this is such an incredible event in that we've been saying this for a while now. There is going to be a Red Bull F1 car in Sandton.
Come on, guys.
I mean, I used to DJ. Sandile, I know you're in this world. You sell parties on certain headliners. That car alone, It's quite something to hear it, to see it moving. There's going to be all kinds of race people. This is the event that's going to happen, the biggest event to happen in Santon since 2010,
yep,
when people got into the streets and waved flags and vuvuzela and stuff. Yeah. So you can be part of this, and we're making the mechanic very, very simple. Share with your friends, go onto our YouTube channel at The Real Network, and just go into any of our shows, any of them, and just say, I would like to join you guys at the Heineken 0.0 lounge at the Red Bull show run. It's really simple.
It's that simple, man.
It's as simple as that. And we'll be choosing that, obviously, next week.
Yeah, it's next week.
Social post Monday.
Next week, James. Okay, so that's it. That is it. So we're going to run up the show. James, anything else? What did I miss?
Nothing important. I just want to add, you guys gave Liverpool a hard time because we lost to Forest. We've come back. We've won 3 games in a row. We're back on top.
Who did you beat?
We beat West Ham last night. Okay. AC Milan.
Yeah. It wasn't that Carabao Cup.
Okay.
And someone else, but we've done it.
Great. Someone else
gave
FC,
us a hard time. We're fine.
You basically beat Robin Hood. Sorry, you lost to Robin Hood. I mean, it's embarrassing, James. You shouldn't bring it up again.
James, come on, let's move forward. Anyway. Money Lubok, please. I'd like to close the show off on, please, Money Lubok. We do not want to talk about you next week. So please, just kick it through the post. It's going to be in front of you. We know it's going to happen. Springboks, don't make the game close. And I want to close on that note. Shout out, Eben.
That's how we're going to end. Yeah. That's Andile, the Marnie enforcer.
Money Lubok, just close it.